Welcome to the Latinx, Latine, and Social Work Podcast, the podcast where we feature people who have an amazing impact on the Latinx, Latine, and the Latino community. My name is Erica Sandoval. I'm a licensed clinical social worker and the CEO and founder of Sandoval Collab and Latinx and Social Work, Inc. Each week, I'm joined by leaders in politics, community organizations, businesses, social justice warriors, and of course, our social workers. We use a mental health, wellness, and social justice lens to talk about issues that impact communities of color while amplifying the voices of individuals and organizations that are doing the work to advance community healing. We're making a space to celebrate our work and talk about what still needs to be done to strengthen our Latino, Latinx, Latine communities and provide them with resources and tools and tips to support them as they navigate the world. Enjoy the episode. Hello, hello, everyone. So excited to share space with Aurora Cruz, who is a licensed clinical social worker and who has been working with children and families for 20 plus years. Her undergraduate degree was in early childhood education at the City College, and her graduate program and area of expertise was in clinical practice with children and families. She's worked inside the classroom as a teacher, in an office as a family therapist, and the most important role where she has received the best training has been as a mother. So I'm so excited to be here with you today. So it's amazing because it's May and we're focused on mental health and we're focused on celebrating the moms of the world and also celebrating women in general. Every day should be celebrating women. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure and an honor to be on your podcast.
No, the honor is mine. You've been doing such incredible work. And we always want to know some tips and some words of encouragement or wisdom for ourselves, just as individuals that are navigating careers, navigating being a parent. And what better way to really support our communities than by bringing you on and hearing all of the amazing things you're doing and also dropping some words of wisdom. How did you decide to do this work? What made you become a clinical social worker and focus on children and families?
I have to say, I think it was actually an accident, a probably divine intervention, because I started off as a babysitter in college. And randomly, some mom asked me, please, can you watch my child as I was working as a lifeguard because she needed to go to work. And I was like, sure. And then from that mom, I got a bunch of referrals. And I was like, I really like kids. I think I like them better than I like adults. So I majored in early childhood development and I was in the classroom for a while. And then after being in the classroom for a while, I felt a bit burnt out, but still wanted to work with kids. And I just came back and I said, maybe therapy would be a good idea. Still teaching or talking about teaching, but not exactly in the same capacity.
And how does your parenting now feel different from the way you were parented and knowing all that you know? Because that's, you know, when we become social workers, we start self-diagnosing ourselves. We start doing all these things and we're like, wait a minute, that wasn't right. Let me do things differently. So how's it different?
Oh, it's such a big difference. You know, one thing that I say to myself and also I say to my patients and my clients, is give yourself some grace and give yourself some space. And so when I'm parenting my children, I realize that I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to mess up probably several times in a day, even in an hour, but I'm not really focused on how I make the mistake. It's more how I fix it, what I'm doing afterwards to repair.
And what do you say, what should parents do to repair? How do you know that if something is not right? First of all, let's start backwards. How do you know you may have done something that's not right? Because when we learn from our own parents or our own generational experiences, we think it's right. So how do we know it's not right?
I like to put myself back in their position. So I have a bonus child as well, who's 13, and I have a 3-year-old toddler. And I like to put myself back in just that mind frame of like, what are they frustrated about? Or what are they trying to explain to me? And just saying like, okay, how did I feel at, obviously I can't remember 3, but I can remember 6. And how did I feel at 6? And how is that maybe similar to how he's feeling in this moment, and taking some of those things into account? And I can definitely remember 13. And that was interesting.
No, I hear that. That's definitely an amazing way to look at things, as you see them as a human. You see them as their own individual person, and you respect them for all their identity markers and all their personality traits and everything that comes with them. And it sounds like you're really empathetic and compassionate to what they're experiencing. That's a beautiful, beautiful way to look at things.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely try to, like I said, I'm making mistakes every hour, all the time. I've yelled, I've, you know, maybe grounded them for a little too long. But I try, when I do those things, I recognize them even in the moment or even a couple hours later, and recognize I made a mistake. I was wrong. I was at fault here. Maybe the initial thing wasn't the best that could have been conveyed or how you did it, but let me go back and correct it.
But don't you get frustrated when, you know, it's frustrating. Like, it's not that easy. So what happens when, so don't you get frustrated, and what do you do with that?
I get very frustrated. I think, as you know, too, like as a social worker, as a clinician, just all day you're taking in other people's charges, right? Like everybody else's emotional energy when you're practicing. And so sometimes it's a little harder for me than other days. And I want to just like breathe. And sometimes I just have to walk away. Like, I can't talk to you right now. I need to walk away from you. I absolutely get frustrated all the time. I would love to share a story, if that's okay with you, about my frustration.
Please. I would love to hear your story.
Yeah. So this one makes me a little teary eyed, I have to be honest. So it was actually just this week, my youngest is potty training, and he's really attached to milk. He loves milk. He loves to drink lots of milk. And we're trying to get out the door to get him to school on time. And I'm like, you can't have milk now. You'll have it when you come back. We got to go. And he's just kind of throwing a tantrum. And I'm just like really at my wit's end, because we're at the door and he's like throwing this tantrum. And I was just like, no. And I screamed pretty loudly. And he just got so upset and so dysregulated. It broke my heart, like looking back. And he's like, mommy, you scared me. And then he peed on himself. And I felt so terrible. It's like one of those moments when you feel like you're the worst parent ever.
Yeah.
And I think this is the shift between the way I was parented and what I want to do for my kids, right? It was not continuing with the frustration, because now I have to clean up the pee and we're going to be late for school. It was just taking a minute and saying to him, wow, I'm so sorry, because this is really all my fault. I screamed. I got so upset. I scared you. I'm hearing what you're saying and I need to be better. And I did. I did exactly that. And I hugged him and I said, mommy made a mistake. It was mommy's fault. I'm so sorry. I won't do that again. Mommy's going to try to be better. And I actually learned that from my oldest, who told me all the time when I am not doing something right, and in the past and in the present, will call me out on it. He'll be like, no, I don't need you in this way. I need you in this other way. And you're not meeting my needs right now.
Wow. Is he going to be a therapist?
I don't know. part of me hopes so, but part of me is like, you know, maybe, but then there'll be so many of us and I'll feel like we'll all be diagnosing each other all the time.
That's so funny. You're hilarious. Well, first, I just want to acknowledge that beautiful moment, which was very painful as well, but it was beautiful in the way you responded to him. It was so beautiful in how you showed up for him and how you acknowledged his emotions and his needs and how you became accountable. Our parents were never accountable for their stuff. I mean, I don't think I've ever heard my mom say, I'm sorry. Maybe once, and it was in my 30s, because I'm like, I haven't gone to therapy for many years, and now I can just talk about this with you. And she's like, okay, I'm sorry, you know, but never when we were kids.
No. And I remember a family member actually said to me, with my oldest, he had done something. He was playing and he hid, and we were in a public place, and it actually really scared me. And I was like, oh my gosh, are you okay? Like, I was frightened. And they said to me, don't apologize to him. And I was like, no, I am going to apologize. Because I freaked out at first.
Who
and I was
said
like,
don't apologize?
A family member of mine.
Oh, yeah.
Who was with us. And because at first I freaked out and I was like, what are you doing? What were you thinking? And he was like tiny. He was only 6 or 7. And I said, no, I have to apologize to him. I didn't respond in the right way. My priority was his safety. And that's how I freaked out. Because I freaked out was because I didn't know he was safe. And I needed to like apologize for my reaction to him and explain, this is why I reacted this way.
Oh, can I share a story?
Yes, please.
Oh my goodness. You're reminding me of when my daughter was 4. And we were running late. It's always because we're running late. It really is.
Yeah,
it's about time management. It's about anxiety of being late and not getting out the door in time and hurrying and hurrying and hurrying. That's the anxiety that a lot of parents have, like being late, getting them in the car, getting them outside of the house, getting. And I had to go to school. I was taking her to school with me. And then I would drop off an early learning center and then I'd go to class and then I'd go to work. It was just, you know, I was a single mom, and she wasn't eating the eggs that I made her, and she would not eat eggs. She didn't want them. And I was like, please, like, come on, let's hurry up. Like, I was trying to feed her quickly, and I pushed the eggs in her mouth, and she got so upset and she didn't want to eat the eggs. And then I yelled at her. And then she ran into the bedroom, the only bedroom we had, which was her room, because I would sleep on the couch, and locked herself in the room and cried. Oh. And she was like 4. And I'm like, oh my God, do you know that I had to like say, I'm sorry, Isabella, I didn't mean to scare you. Come out now, please open the door, please open the door. You know, and because if I was screaming, she wouldn't open the door, right? She would be more scared.
Yeah.
And she came out. Till this day, at 22 years old, she tells me that's the only time she's ever been scared. Oh. And the only time I've ever, that the only memory of trauma. She's like, I remember when you tried that time with eggs. I'm like, if that's the only memory, you know, because yeah,
you're winning.
Because that was so painful to me. So I acknowledge it and I validate you. And for all the moms that are listening to this, listen, we're not perfect. We are imperfect human beings with so many responsibilities, so many needs, our own needs. The way we've been parented before may not, you know, translate to the way we want to parent anymore. So give yourself grace. Like Aurora said, give yourself grace. Forgive yourself. Don't shame yourself. And self and time, right? To take time for themselves. What do you think are some tips that you can give parents, moms especially, that can help them just parent differently or parent in a way that they feel more connected and attuned. I don't want to say better because I don't want to shame any moms out there. I want people to just look at the way that things have been done before and how they can maybe approach things differently. So what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. It's about maybe just shifting and shifting for each kid, right? Not every kid is going to be the same. Every kid is different. So one thing is I don't have to have a reaction for everything at the moment. Sometimes I just need to let things sit with me. And I won't react. So my 13-year-old will come home and say something that I feel like is so provocative. And I just, okay. And I'll address it like 2 days later because I need to process the information.
Agreed. I did that with Isabel all the time. Like, take a deep breath. So what I would say is like, process it quietly with your therapist, with a friend, with your partner, and take deep breaths before you react, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I have to say, he taught me that. Like he would say to me, when I had reactions, it felt to him very punitive. Like I was not defending him enough in whatever like social issue he was having. And I would just be like, I had to listen to that. I had to sit with that. And it felt really uncomfortable that he felt like I wasn't his full supporter. And I was just like, wait, that if that's the narrative you're getting, like that's a problem. So let me sit back and try it again. One tip that I really loved using, and I look forward to using it with our little one, is I called it the circle of trust. So during that time, you could call the circle of trust at any time. We actually still use it. And there's nothing that you can say in that moment that you will get in trouble for. The most horrendous things. Not that they say anything really that terrible, but they just don't get in trouble. I'm not going to sweat the small stuff. Sometimes I just have to let stuff go.
Love that. Sometimes we have to let stuff go. Don't sweat the small stuff and create a circle of trust. And trust is by being accountable to your children, by when you say you're going to do something, do it. When you've see that you hurt them or hurt their feelings or, you know, just didn't respond in a way that was receptive to them, be accountable, acknowledge it. There's nothing wrong with saying, I'm sorry, you know, and just starting to build that trusting relationship with honor for each individual child that you have, which is so different from each other. What works for one doesn't work for the other.
Yes, they're very different, very similar, and yet very different. And taking time for myself.
Take time for yourself. Give yourself self-care, self-time, you know, just time for you. You know, we're starting, myself and partners in Story Kings, we're starting mom circles, and we're having moms come and really connect and be in community for just 2 hours. And we'll share, we'll put the information on the podcast. So if you want to join us, it's in person and it would be lovely to have you, Aurora, lovely to have you. Okay. And my last question to you is, how does the approach that you're talking about incorporate into your Latina culture?
That one I feel like is a good question, because sometimes I feel like I'm going a little bit against it from everything that I knew growing up. But I think the basis of my Latina culture was love, right? Like it all stemmed, everything that was being done was being done out of love, even if I didn't always agree with it, and this unconditional love. And that's what I want my kids to feel, is unconditional love.
The unconditional love is love that even if you are not doing well in school, I still love you. Even if you peed on the bed or peed on the floor, I still love you. Even if you didn't put your toys away, I still love you. Like all those moments that you're thinking, my mommy won't love me if I don't do this. I have to be perfect. Because, you know, as a clinical therapist, I see adults. And guess what we work on? We work on healing the inner child. And guess what the inner child is? There's all those age groups that we're talking about that we as little girls or little people had to overcompensate because we wanted to be loved by our mom. So we had to be perfect and we had to make sure we got all our grades, straight A's, or we had to make sure everything was done and fix things because if it wasn't fixed, she wouldn't love us. Or if it wasn't perfect, she wouldn't love us. That's where a lot of our anxieties come as adults. So,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So talking to you has been amazing because it gives us things to think about. So tips for the listeners, give yourself time, right? Self-care. What else?
Yeah, give yourself some space and give yourself some grace. It's okay to walk away. Give yourself some time away from nothing is that important that it's still going to be that important in 24 hours from now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I heard that. I think it was
pick your battles.
Yeah. I heard that like on a book I was reading from the Dalai Lama, and it was like, if it's not going to be important in 24 hours, it's not really that important. Pick your battles for sure. And give yourself time for you. I can't pour from an empty cup, and I notice it. I feel it. I can feel my body, you know, going through it. When you notice it, be in tune with it and just take 5 minutes, even if it's just 5 minutes for you.
Yes, 5 minutes for you. I love it. And for all of you that are listening, I hope you have a beautiful, beautiful rest of the month. It's a season of spring. It's a season of renewal, of just being with you. I hope the allergy season's not getting to you too much. And I hope that you continue to give yourself the love you deserve and continue listening to our podcast. We're here for you to support all of your needs. And I'm so excited to have had the pleasure of talking to Aurora Cruz, who can be found by...
You can find me on Instagram at Rory, the Imperfect Therapist, or you can find me also on my website, my parenting coaching website, at RoryCruzLCSW.com.
R-O-R-Y CruzLCSW.com. Thank you so much, Aurora, for being here. It was such a pleasure and honor.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was such a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Latinx and Social Work Podcast. This show is a labor of love where we hope these conversations will not only provide resources, but will help heal, lead, and inspire our communities and let them know that they're not alone. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to leave a review and comment on iTunes or Spotify, letting us know what you think. And if you're interested, purchase our award-winning books, Latinx, Latina, and Social Work, Stories That Heal, Inspire, and Connect Communities, on our website, www.latinxandsocialwork.com. Lastly, be sure to follow us on social media at Latinx and Social Work. Till next time.